The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome back to a bright and shiny new year of Gotham Undercover shows. I'm Karen the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff X-Force 11.
Welcome. Yay.
Yay. It's good to be back.
I know it is. It really, really is. We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. So tell us about this episode, Jeff.
This episode is titled Ghosts, and it was written by Danny Cannon, who's an EP on Gotham, and he's done writing for CSI.
Wait. The Mentalist?
Probably, but I just pulled the top of the
I know,
list,
no, it was so. He worked on The Mentalist. That was the whole thing. They all did.
Yeah. And our favorite director with the cool name, Eagle Eggleston.
I love his name.
Who's, of course, done 7 episodes, I think, at least of Gotham. He's worked on Lucifer and Once Upon a Time. And as Karen put in the notes, the manliest name ever.
Eagle Eggleston. Totally
agree.
It is. It's awesome. And he's worked on the Berlantiverse shows as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, it's Eagle Eggleston. You have to say it like, I mean, you have to use your glottis.
Yeah, and he's probably got his own theme song somewhere.
He does. When he walks, it probably goes dun 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 dun, and the ground moves as he walks. Tung tung tung. Right?
Exactly.
It has to. I don't want to even look up his picture because I will be let down if he does not look like Thor.
Yeah, or who I'm thinking about is. Oh, God, his name's escaping me now. Silver-haired actor, mustache, was in The Big Lebowski. Eagleton Ron from Parks and Rec.
Yes, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
That's the type of person I'm thinking of with that name.
Yeah, he was in Steel Magnolias as Dolly Parton's husband.
Yes,
I know exactly who you're talking about. And he talks like this. He has a very low voice with a bit of a southern accent. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I could see that as well. Very gruff and grumbly and cowboy hat. I could see that too. Yes. Eagle Eggleston. Oh, I love that guy. You know what? If I ever have a chance to interview someone and I could just say interview one person, I think I might go for Eagle Eggleston just so I could talk to Eagle Eggleston. Okay, now I have to do this.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now?
But Eagle's worth it. So let us start with our ratings. What did you think of this episode?
Okay, I gave it 8.5 owls hidden in the back hall.
Awesome.
Nice.
And I gave it 8 secret maps, and I spelled it S-E-E-K-R-I-T, secret.
Yeah, man, I was trying to look at that equations, maps. I'm having lost flashbacks to the hatch with the door there. Who knows,
you know what
all
I equated
was in there?
I equate it to something like on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they put up one of those like floaty in the air maps or whatever. That's kind of what I think of when I looked at it. Although they don't use that technology, it was definitely a projection.
Right.
So it's a cross between Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Iron Man projection technology.
Right.
So, but it was definitely, it had a map, it had other stuff, it had probably coordinates and other stuff. Directions maybe, but I couldn't make out anything specific. It was very murky. It wasn't fleshed out. It wasn't close up. So we shall have to see where that takes us. And
yes,
of
indeed.
Course, no one paid attention. Which
no, of course not.
It's so frustrating, right? And I'm just realizing after looking at this that I missed one of the storylines. So we're going to have to just mention it after I say all the storyline titles, and we'll discuss that right up front. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Our storyline titles are Hitman with Pizzazz. So thank you for helping me come up with that one. B-Story Oswald's Big Adventure. Exactly. Thank you. And my C story is She Learned It By Not Watching You. And I don't know if you saw that PSA growing up, but it was a drug PSA.
Mm-hmm. Where yeah, the kids I remember.
Says, yeah. I learned it by watching you. And it's definitely a like mother, like daughter thing. And mm-hmm. I have a feeling there's a con going here. Mm. So, like, what's mommy up to here?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And then there's another storyline, and I don't know why I missed it, but there's the whole Cult of the Joker thing going on. How did I miss that? So, put on a happy face. How's that? There's my fourth one, and I just came up with that off the top of my head.
Nice.
Okay, so put on a happy face. Let's talk about that first, by the way.
Man, oh man.
Right?
So we get this woman on the slab, and I love Lucius's telling that, you know, she's had all this electricity run through her, and they found her stumbling, but then she passed out, and she was stabbed,
right,
put in the morgue, and then is out later stumbling around, and you're like, okay, right. I see where this is going.
Yeah, and I love how Harvey is so freaking jaded over the whole thing. He's like, our morgue is a hotel.
Oh,
it's so
man.
Great. And when they go to see the morgue attendant,
Dwight, yeah.
Is that guy creepy or what?
He is. He is. He's scary, and his Renfield
right.
is pretty spooky, too.
I mean, they're
both, you know, out there, but he was that way in the morgue. But once he went and had his full get up and was playing hype man to Jerome.
Yeah.
At the theater there, it got really scary.
Right.
I mean, seeing all those people literally mouthing word for word every word Jerome had said in that footage at the police station, it was scary. And his face when he was doing it too, it was like, oh my goodness.
Yes, it really was. And a piece of trivia, which I put in here also, David Malkian, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
The man who played Dwight actually played a thug, one of Joker's thugs, in 2008's The Dark Knight.
That's where I recognized him from.
Yep.
Oh, I was like, I know his face, but where?
Yep.
And it's like, oh, okay.
And that is where I recognize him from as well, because I looked through all his credits, and that was the only thing that I could pull out where I would have noticed him.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the other things were things where he was like waiter or, you know, I wouldn't have noticed him from that. But this, he was one of Joker's like main thugs.
Mm-hmm.
From The Dark Knight. So
yeah.
Typecast. But I thought it was pretty cool that they used him as a similar character in this series. I mean, literally one of Joker's hype men.
Right. Yeah. We find out that Barnes gets the scoop that he worked at Indian Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so he obviously had seen some of what Hugo was doing, and he's trying to copy that. And so, hey, he works in a morgue. Great source of dead bodies.
Sure.
That I can, you know, I can bring back and test before I do it for real.
Yeah.
On Jerome. So, oh, man.
Yeah. crazy weird is all I can say. And again, we're seeing the cult of the Joker evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jerome does end up being the Joker, which again would be cool because the age is right, essentially, he is a good fit for the role, I think.
Yeah.
And that twist was great already, that he died and he would come back, and maybe his reanimation would be the thing that makes him so sick and twisted. I am really digging this, where this is going. And I like that it creates this whole cult of people. So he would have this built-in group of followers all ready to take up with him the minute he's back.
Right. And so my thinking is this. I said it in a blog post. I think the writers understand that we are only getting 3 episodes before we have a long break. And people have been clamoring to see Jerome back since he left.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, okay, let's give him this 3-story arc here to really tide them over and get them satisfied to come back in, you know, in the end of April.
Right.
And so I'm really hoping that it extends beyond these 3 episodes. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him and what type of Gotham spin they put on the character. So it's going to be exciting.
I think so too. I don't know how I forgot this storyline. I honestly do not know how. It must just have been when I was writing the titles and I just, it escaped me because I had that trivia right there. that storyline was great. It was just that it wasn't a huge bulky part of the episode.
Right.
The main part, of course, was Oswald and the whole Hitman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 2 separate storylines. Oswald being gaslighted heavily.
Oh, man, yeah.
And you have to feel a little sorry for him, right?
Yeah, a little. But it's one of those things, it's fun to see how devious and intricate Ed's plans are, because it is so, the way that he's doing things, that he's plotting things, he's moving things forward, he's whispering in ears. It's the little subtle things that is pushing Oswald just a little bit more and just a little bit more. And the timing of everything, of how Ed worked everything out. So it's one thing on top of the other, and Oswald just really doesn't have a time to rest between the next beat.
Right.
It's just so good. Yeah. So good.
And that's one of his hallmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Enigma, the Riddler, is his ability to plan things out and to make essentially a riddle out of everything, you know, to make sure that all the pieces fit together to make the answer correct, you know, to fit this whole scenario he has put together.
Yeah. And I what I really appreciate is how when Ed was talking with Babs and Tab at the end, and they're asking, well, why didn't you just let him get caught with the bodies? And that's just too on the nose for him.
Yep.
And I love the whole, he's got to die by 1,000 cuts. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. And then we'll put him out of his misery.
That's
because
right.
He's got to suffer for what he did to Isabella. So, yeah, just so good.
Yeah, he likes to play with his food. He does.
Yeah, definitely.
He likes to watch his victims writhe. And again, that's another hallmark of the Riddler, is that he really likes to watch them suffer, especially if they've done something directly to him. And that seems to be who he goes after. He doesn't really do the, you know, I want to rob a bank kind of thing. He goes after people that have wronged him, or he perceives them to have wronged him.
Right.
And that's their deal. And of course, Batman being the main person that has wronged him in, in the comics. So he does things to hurt Batman over and over. But in this case, of course, it's Oswald. And that was something that we were hoping for, that once they had their bromance, which was great when it happened, but we knew that at some point it was either going to implode or it was going to become something else, you know, them having a full-fledged team up against the rest of the town or whatever.
Right.
And it did. It imploded rather quickly, actually. And it, I think it's going to become epic.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
I really like the plan that he had and how he's going about things. He knows how important relationships are to Oswald and how special his dad was to him. And he's using Clayface to go after him, to set him on edge and get him worried. He's pulled himself out of the campaign and the office. And so here he's lost this commonality and this common friend. And then he brings in this hot shot, the Barbara Walters,
right?
of the Gothamverse, Margaret Hurst, to really grill him and get beyond the persona that he's putting there out to the public. And so, yeah, it's really cool the way that he did the breakdown. And the only little qualm I have with it is the whole Elijah walking around the interview set holding the bloody trophy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is everybody in the room in on Ed's plan?
Someone else would have said something, right?
I mean, I'm like, this is the mayor, and there's a guy walking around with a bloody trophy.
Right.
And I'm just like, that was my only little qualm. Like, somebody would have said something or...
Although, it is Gotham.
I don't know, but... Still, very well done. Very well done.
It is Gotham. That's like saying there's someone weird out on the streets of New York. But no, I agree with you. There were some times where I thought, you know, it would be weird to see him there. But I do get that. And one of the things I really loved about his gaslighting plan was seeing him reenact it for us afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Saying it was just me whispering in ears, and then his voiceover, and then them showing us how he whispered in the ear, how he showed Clayface walking through the house, and you know, how we saw the scenes enacted over again from a different perspective. And I really enjoyed that because I love that kind of fourth wall breakage, just that little tiny bit of here's how we did it, but not really, you're still watching the show. You know, it's kind of a faux meta sort of thing,
right? We have the real excuse that he is explaining it out to, you know, Babs and Tabs, so it makes it feel okay to do that,
right?
And makes it feel authentic to it. And it's a comic book thing. It, you know, it really feels natural within the kind of the comic book genre of this flashback. So
how many times have you read a comic where they have like four pages down the road, they have panels like that where you see it from a different perspective? You know, the room's turned sideways and you get to see it from the villain's point of view. I mean, I can't count the number of times where a comic book has done that for me, where you can see.
Yeah. And that's good, because I think I saw a video earlier this week and they were talking about Arrow moving forward into the next season, where the flashbacks that they had would be to characters and interactions that happen in the past and give insight rather than the paralleling the storyline. And so this feels really natural for Gotham because it just shows us how devious Ed is, mm-hmm. and just gives us that much character development of him really moving full force towards the Riddler.
Right. It's fooling us into listening to exposition a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is great. I love it. It's Eagleson directing. That's what it is. And hopefully he'll make some appearances on Arrow next season, because this would be a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To show that sort of meta, faux meta, fourth wall breaking,
right,
sort of thing. I mean, it's not really fourth wall breaking, but it's, you know, it's them saying, shh, here's how I did it. You know, it's kind of fourth wall breaking, but not really. I mean, it's the character still showing us something, but mm-hmm. It's a really great way to tell the story without really coming out and saying, here's how I did it. So I really liked it. And just Ed is being his brilliant self. And he's doing it on so many levels. Not only is he undermining him in that purely visceral sense of showing him the ghosts and forcing him to kill his right-hand man for mm-hmm. now, but he is using those personal things that he learned about him while he was his best friend. So he's stabbing him in the back because he was his best friend,
right?
And he's also taken himself away from Oswald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he has deprived himself of, you know, deprived Oswald of his best friend at the same mm-hmm. time. So it's just like disappointment upon disappointment upon disappointment, and Oswald is just going to go insane. And I think this is what's really going to contribute again more to the whole Penguin persona.
Right, right. I totally agree. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Gotham is at times it can be a little, you're like, are they moving things forward too quickly? But then it's times like this where you're seeing the slow maturing of the characters and the setting of the characters into the mold that we'll get to see them fully fleshed out in the Batman era. But they're doing it in a way that is fun, is exciting, and it's building those characters up in new ways. And I really appreciate the depth that they're going to really explain the psyche of the characters and how they got to be who they got to be. Because that's one of the things that may be a little missing in the comics is you don't have that time to do all that backstory. And that's why it's fun to look at Elseworlds like this one and things like that, where you get, oh, that's might have how it happened. And right. So like I said, I really appreciate how they're doing it here in Gotham.
Yeah, me too. Very yeah. much so. I think they've really held on to this whole mm-hmm. Elseworlds thing. And I am really glad I stuck with it after the first season. This makes me appreciate the whole, you know, keep your mind open to this mm-hmm. new format thing.
Yeah.
They're really great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Hitman with Pizzazz. Wow. A new side of Zazz.
Yeah, Zazz has been one of those fun characters all the way through the series.
Agreed.
But this episode was just a lot of fun because you see that he's got a code. And he's got this hit, but even before the hit, he comes in, he's sitting drinking Jim's milk and right. saying, listen, it's only a matter of time before I come, but I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate you. You did a good job.
Right.
Off in Mario, you were a good shot. And it's one of those, it was professional thing. And just seeing that insight where he is not going necessarily for the collateral damage. He is going for that one target. And just to see him do that. And I loved, there was that one particular scene, I think it was in the restaurant kitchen, with him coming forward with the two guns raised and you had the red background behind him.
Mm-hmm. Striking.
Just, like you said in the title, it was pizzazz. That's just yep. who he is. And he's just a fun character to watch on screen. And to see him and Jim really go through this dance of going back and forth and Jim's running away and drawing the bullets away from Harvey.
Right.
And I just really appreciate it. And it was just a lot of fun that way. Harvey comes into the apartment there at the end and he's like, you know that most of the time I'm right by your side.
Right. Yes, I love Harvey's lines 100%, but this one in particular. I'm not here to soak up your bullets. I mean, it was great the way he was talking with James in this episode. Although they're not partners right now, but
no,
it's still a partnership. Even now, it's still a partnership.
Yeah, most definitely. But it was just fun. We have him at the beginning. We have Harvey at the beginning, really coming there. Jim's overlooking the funeral, feeling like he's got to do something. He's got to say something. He's got to make up for it in some way because, yeah, the police have said, yes, it was justifiable. You're cleared. But he knows it's not that way with Falcone, and he knows it's not that way with Lee.
Right.
And Harvey's really talking to him and talking sense into him, and it's great that Jim is actually listening to it now.
Yeah.
But so we see that kind of back and forth with the two of them, and they get kind of pulled off into this side case. Investigating Dwight, and it was fun to see the two of them together, but the fun was really the dance of Zaz and Jim going back and forth and trading blows and doing things that way, and it was just a lot of fun that way, just to really see that, how much of a dance element to it, that with the choreography it was. And mm-hmm. So always fun to have Zaz, and it was fun to see him kind of in this role as a little earlier in the season that we just got to see him just a little bit, and it wasn't as fun to see. But yeah, so basically Falcone's put out the hit and Zaz is going to do it. And I love the fact that Lee's questioning things, and she's like, I've got to get to the bottom of this, even in the midst of her feelings. And she really tells Falcone, she tells Carmine, yes, I hate him. But even in the midst of that, she is still questioning things, and she has to find out for herself. And oh my goodness, when she goes to Arkham. Ooh.
She does find out, doesn't she? And you know what I think pushes her to that is that everyone else is on James's side. Mm-hmm. She is the only one who believes Mario.
Yeah. Even she says that Jim is a virus and all that talk, but she knows Jim.
Right.
And she knows that he has a code that he would not he gave his word to Carmine, mm-hmm. and he has that code. She knows that there's something there. And so she has to find out the reasoning. When everybody else is giving him the pass, she's got to find the reason. And oh, she goes to talk to Barnes, and Barnes is not home. The executioner is in full force. Oh.
Yeah, he's crazy town. And I think that's when it hits her. He would have never come out of that.
Yeah.
He was mm-hmm. never going to be the same after that.
Yeah, because she knows Mario. I mean, she knew Mario. She had been with him. And I think it caused her, seeing Barnes, caused her to probably think over some of Mario's reactions and really who he was the last couple weeks and say, this really doesn't jive with who I met and fell in love with. Mm-hmm. And so we don't get that explanation full out, but I think that's the reasoning in her mind of, you know, taking a look at things and deciding, okay, I've got to have Carmine call off the hit.
Yep. That was my thought as well, is that she processes that whole thing, compares and contrasts, and then goes to Carmine and says, no, got to call him off.
Yeah.
As much as I hate him, he doesn't deserve to die.
Right, right.
And, and Jazz is all like, okay.
Yeah, I love that.
It's all good.
Carmine calls it off, and he's like, okay, I'm out. You know, yep. He's just out the door.
Look, that's my job, is you tell me what to do, I do it. Yeah. If you tell me to stop, I stop. And, you know, that is what he's about, Zaz. I mean, mm-hmm. he follows orders. He's a company man. So whoever is the boss is, you know, he's not going to be in charge. Because
right.
when the crap comes down, he doesn't want to be on the receiving end of it.
Well, that's not his skill set. He right. knows what he's good at, and he's going to walk in that and right. let some other people kind of figure the big picture
right,
out.
Right. And, you know, some of the stuff I really like with him was, first of all, you mentioned him being in James's apartment. And I love that because when he talks to James, he has some hard truths. And he mm-hmm. says, you know, hey, I dig you. Number one, I think, you know, good guy. But I have to tell you, you know, there's a hit on you. I just want to warn you right up front. But, you know, I'll get you because I'm the best at what I do. And that, you know, that's essentially what he's saying, right? Is, you know, I just, before I kill you, before it's too late, I want to let you know. And so there's that. And then later on, he's telling him, well, I'm glad you took care of Mario. Because I never liked that kid, which I yeah. dug so much.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's respect. He
yeah.
he knows that Jim is a qualified guy, and he sees those capabilities and those rules, and really who he is, and mm-hmm. and he has that respect for him.
Right.
So yeah,
it's nothing personal. My boss says, you got to get taken out. I got to take you out. That's pretty much it. But Carmine does what Lee wants and calls it off. And James is safe for now. And mm-hmm. Lee is not going to forgive him anytime soon. So
no.
Let us not think that is going to happen. But I think she does have a better understanding of what was going on at the time.
Right.
Now, we still don't see that knife. Although we saw it in the last time on Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean we're going to see that knife again?
I think it was to clue people in the fact that it fell down and fell off of the porch. Therefore, it was not visible when Lee turned around
okay.
and anybody would say, okay, there's no knife visible, so what was the threat?
Right.
And so
I think that was
a plausibility factor
okay.
there.
I wasn't sure which way they were headed with that, whether it was going to be a, hey, look, there was a knife here, or whether it was going to be, you don't have to believe him because there was no threat sort of thing.
Right. And the fact of the matter is, I think – Jim knew there was a knife, so he probably told him to go looking for it.
Oh, okay. So they might actually have had it.
They may recover it.
Right.
I'm not saying that they haven't recovered it.
Sure.
But we don't know really how much time has elapsed in really notifying Lee to say, listen, Jim said there was a knife. We looked, we found one. I don't know the timing there, but we'll see. We'll see if it comes back or not. But yeah, because
it would be good proof for her.
Yeah, definitely.
That he actually was trying to kill her. If they found a knife with his prints on it.
Right.
Because water doesn't wash away all evidence of prints because that's oil on your hands.
And yeah, that's yeah. Sort of thing.
So who knows? We might see it. We might not. It, you know, it might give more credence to the theory, might lead to a little more forgiveness on her part. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we have the whole Bruce and Selena and Selena's mom and Alfred being pickpocketed 100 different ways. That was adorable.
Well, I really... this is, you know, a core part of the show talking about Bruce, but I care about this grouping.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Because, yeah, one of the complaints is like, how are you going to do Gotham without Batman? So you focus on Jim. But this is a core group, and I really like these characters. I genuinely do. And they're fun to watch on screen. And you just see the maturity level there. You see Selena, she's been hurt. I mean, was left when she was 5. It's 11 years later, so that puts her 16. And so she's had to fend for herself for 11 years. She's had to build up this strong shell in order to survive on the streets. Mm-hmm. And Mom is back, and Mom is just not giving the answers that Selena is looking for.
No.
She's not taking the fact that, Selena's lived on the streets. She knows what crime is about, and she knows that, really, if her mom had really wanted to take her with her, she could have.
Sure.
And so she's not standing for it. And it takes Bruce talking some sense into her, being that intermediary of really saying, listen, Maria, I understand how important family is. Let me talk to Selena. And he talks to her. He takes the box of belongings to Selena, and Selena actually listens to him, and she breaks. Mm-hmm. And we really get to see it's one of those circumstances where you have a mom and a daughter who are so much alike that they butt heads.
Sure.
Because they're so much alike, but there's this breakthrough, and we get to see that breakthrough. And I loved the family dinner in the kitchen of Wayne Manor.
So great.
It was just, it felt natural. Everybody was relaxed and having a good time. You see how far Alfred has come, and he's rolling with the punches. Like you said, he got pickpocketed by Selena. He gets pickpocketed by Maria.
Right. I see what you mean. It was so cute.
And it's just it's so fun to see this dynamic between this group, and you see this respect that Alfred has for Maria, and this some sparks maybe going there. What do you think?
Maybe I'm gonna be hesitant because of something I'm gonna say in a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, there is a bit of a scuffle at the end of the episode, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Mom knows that Selena has an in with the Waynes.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that because
she does ask, are you dating that guy? And then she's over, and I'm wondering if she's not setting things up.
Well, I don't know. I want to hope for the best because
I do too.
Because when she's talking at the beginning, are you dating that guy? I'm thinking in my mind as a guy, and like I said, I'm not on the other side of the coin. But I'm thinking she's trying to start some sort of conversation with Selena. We really don't know how old Maria was when she had Selena. Is she thinking, is she worried for Selena that she's in a relationship? That's where I was at that age. You know, is she trying to talk to her to make some type of inroad? So I'm thinking, yeah, in my mind, in my hoping for the best, yeah, she's trying to mend this fence, but she knows Cole's out there, so she's got to get out of town. And she doesn't want to involve. And so it's Selena that walks in the door
right
at the end at the hotel and saying, listen, we can get you money, because she just got this relationship back with her mom.
I know.
She's not thinking. And so I'm really hoping for the best. I'm hoping it's not a con to try to get that, because
I'm hoping it's not.
Because if that is the case, she is not only going to lose with that relationship there with Jim, with Bruce and Alfred, but she's going to lose her daughter again.
Yep.
And that, oh, see, I'm just like, no.
The reason I think,
I don't know.
The reason I'm leaning that way, and it's mm-hmm. I'm not hoping for it. I just think I get an inkling they might be doing this is in order to head down that Catwoman path.
Yeah.
Because that would definitely put another notch in the Catwoman belt to have her mother betray her.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, not everything's happy in Selena's life.
No, no.
And that's the only thing that makes me think that could happen.
Yeah.
So, or if something happens with Cole that causes her mother to pass on,
yeah.
And that also would hurt her irrevocably. So those two things. And I hate to do that. I hate to be the damper on the whole thing, because I loved that dinner. I loved mm-hmm. it. And I would love to have a little spark between Alfred and Maria. That would be great.
Yeah.
But of course, we know down the road in the future, that is not the case.
Right. So the other question that it brings up in my mind is the question that Maria never answered of Selena's, who's my dad?
Right.
And I'm thinking, is it Cole? Mm. Is Maria not telling her so that because, you know, it will put Selena in danger? It just brings that lingering question of who is Selena's dad, and is that part of the reason that Maria left Gotham? Because right. is there a tie-in to the owls? Is there, that's a hanging question there that is, once again, I don't think it's going to get answered maybe in these three episodes, but it's one of those things where it's just laying the foundation for future revelation.
Agreed. It'll be Harvey.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
That would be awesome, actually. But yeah, I think the future will see who it is. I would love for her to be tied into the Court of Owls in some way. I think that would be great. That she was denied her rightful place in Gotham City.
Mm.
And that would be part of her vendetta, is that, you know, she could have grown up rich, but her father rejected her. That would definitely be a big thing that she would, you know, have to keep on the down low. That would be very interesting.
Well, the other crazy thing I just thought about, what about Jim's dad?
Oh,
Like after, I don't know the timing, but like after he was supposed to have died,
right?
That he got involved with Maria and she had to leave because she knew he was still alive. And So that's, you know, the crazy theory in me, you know, bringing back the crazy theory days from Lost of, you know, let's guess. But so anyway.
She'd be James Gordon's half-sister.
Yeah.
Interesting. So she could, hold on a minute. So she could theoretically be Selena Barbara Gordon. That'd be cool. Yeah, see, that's stretching it, but I could really see her being tied into the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. I really do. That has merit. And I also hate to say this, but I see her mother turning on her as well. I mean, I could see a scenario where that could happen. I hate it. I don't want that to happen. I know you don't either.
No, not at all. But like I said, this show and the writers, I appreciate what they do. And I know if they do it, I'm going to maybe not like it, but appreciate the way they did it in the style. Mm-hmm. It's not going to just say, oh, this makes no sense and I hate it.
It'll make sense.
Rather than I don't like it, but I'm seeing what you're doing here.
Right. Well, I mean, either way, that would make sense because it definitely would make her more Catwoman. Either way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. So I think that's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how these stories move forward. And like I said, I really enjoyed the episode for being the first one back after a break and all the little bits and pieces that we got to see and those little character moments that we got to see out of so many characters. So,
Agreed. I think they're going to cram as much as they can into these three episodes.
Yeah. And,
I think that's a good thing because 24, I'm not going to watch 24. I like the first season of 24 and that was pretty much it for me. there's plenty of stuff on to watch for me in that whole time period.
Supergirl,
yes. Timeless. All the Berlantiverse shows. The Walking Dead comes back in that time. And
yeah, but, you know, it'll be nice for you to be able to you know, not have as many shows on Monday night.
Right. So. Timeless is another one, too, though, on Monday
night. Yeah.
And Lucifer is also on Monday night.
Yeah.
So there's that. Lucifer is really good right now. So. Okay, so we do have one piece of quick feedback. And here it is.
Good evening, Gotham. This is your eye in the sky, Green Butterfly. Riddle me this and riddle me that. You messed with Ed's girl, little bird, and you're going to pay for that.
That's what she sent.
Love it. Love
I did
it.
Too. I sent her a note on Twitter and I said, this is the best. Thank you, Justina. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
our
we appreciate
own
it.
Little green butterfly riddler. So tell everyone else if they want to send us feedback, what can they do?
So our feedback deadline are Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can call 304-837-2278. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. There you can type out a message. You can attach an audio file or use a SpeakPipe widget to record your thoughts. And yes, we really want to hear your thoughts and what you're thinking about these episodes. And in your voice would be preferable, but we will be glad to read it.
Yes.
You can find us on Twitter at GothamGSM, and we tweet on Monday nights during the show. And if you will go to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes, you can subscribe to our show and all the other great Golden Spiral Media podcasts.
That is right. Perfecto, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a summary for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jeff, for grabbing that. Next week, it is On the Run from Gordon and Bullock. Dwight, guests are David Dashmalkin. I'm just going to pretend that I said that right.
Sure.
Tries to revive Jerome, guest star Cameron Monaghan, and in turn activates his acolytes around Gotham City. Meanwhile, Selina's mom, guest star Ivana Milicevic, I think it's Milicevic.
I think so.
Yeah. Intentions in Gotham are revealed. Oh, hold on. And the power play between Penguin and Enigma escalates as Barbara's plans are set in place in the all-new Mad City Smile Like You Mean It episode of Gotham, airing Monday, January 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
That's right. That's
Smile
right.
Like You Mean It. That is a Joker episode if I ever heard it.
Mm-hmm. And the pictures are up on the Facebook page for the next episode. And as soon as they get pictures for the last episode in January, they'll be up as well. But awesome. You know, check them out, take a look, and let your mind race.
Yeah,
about next week.
They look pretty foreboding, don't they? Mm-hmm. Jerome's looking crazy.
And we want to share something with you too. We're going to be making an announcement maybe next week about what's going to happen in the break.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not going to leave you high and dry for all those weeks at Gotham Undercover.
We are not.
So stay tuned in and we'll give you some info probably next week.
We have some fun plans.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Jeff and one other person. We're going to be doing some fun things and then talking to you about them.
Yes.
And
we're going to need you.
That's right.
Your voice too.
That's right. And hopefully you guys will have fun too.
Yeah.
So there's that. And so you'll be hearing from us the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially next week, which is, did you like that segue?
Yeah.
Which is where we're going to go next. And now I have just written myself into a corner. So we'll talk to you next week. And
that's right.
That's it for us here. Bye.
See you next week.